The Future of Teamwork is a Leader production. Subscribe today and never miss an episode.
How do you give someone bad news? How do you land a hard message? And that's really hard because that's humanity, right? Like, that's the stuff that also brings us together. That's the stuff that can pull us apart.
Welcome to the Future of Teamwork podcast. My name is Dane Grudeveld, and today I'm joined by Farah Mitra. Farah is a friend who I met actually at the Responsive Conference up in San Francisco earlier this year. And she's an executive coach, one of 15 Radical Candor coaches globally, teaching how to give feedback kindly and clearly. And she's also the creator of Communicating Challenges and Change Framework. So I'm excited to dive into that today. Welcome to the show, Farah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. So tell us a little bit more about you. How did you come to be building this framework and doing all this really cool work?
Yeah, so Dane, I have always loved all things business and all things people. And I would argue that this career started at the age of 6 or 7 because I was teaching dolls math. So I was definitely teaching, empowering, and coaching for whatever a 7-year-old could do. And it was definitely math. It was like analytics, numbers, business, right? And then
Love it. For me,
that theme has literally followed me throughout my career. So I have a background in strategy consulting. I worked at Bain for a dozen or so years. For me, that chapter was extremely valuable business skills, seeing what world-class professional development looks like. And then it was learning how to communicate well. I started there as an intern. So I'm 20 years old. You know, I've worked with CEOs and senior people since a very young age. And so learning to communicate well is extremely ingrained in me. So that was the chapter of like very well oiled to see what best class looks like. And then chapter two is like, okay, let's be an operator. Like, let's dive into the messy, right? And so that chapter for me, I built the people and culture functions at some very, very, very hyper growth tech companies. At one of them, I think I was employee 290 and we had 300 job descriptions open and not a lot in place because I was built to bring things in. I changed roles 9 times in 4 years, which was a good thing, actually. And I really learned about communicating through massive amounts of change, right? And it's not even leading others through change. It was being a leader, leading through change. And it was hard. It's really hard. Change is hard for people. That was chapter two. And then now for the last 10 years, like you said, I'm an executive coach, a communications coach. I support executives at Fortune 10s all the way to nonprofits, just about everything in between. And Dave, my jam is literally hard stuff. It is like helping executives, helping leaders land really hard, messy messages with comfort and without damage, right? So part of Radical Candor, it is teaching praise, but it is also teaching people some tough feedback messages so they can develop and grow, right? And I've done over 200 of those workshops. So all my work centers around difficult challenges, different messages. It's my sweet spot. It's my jam. And then I've taken all those experiences to create this framework, Communicating Challenges and Change, so that people can have a way, like a very systematic way through this ever-changing time that is not stopping, to get a little bit more comfort and make the experience better for other people when they're communicating hard stuff.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I know when we met, I was excited when you started telling me about this because it's definitely been one of those things that I've ground the gears on over the years. As a leader going through change, and also just like as a parent, as a son, as a friend in the community, as a member of a voluntary rugby club, you name it, there are hard conversations everywhere. And I think I read a stat once that said 84% of us as humans will avoid the conflict fear of like separation from the herd or causing damage.
But also, if you think about this, like, this is something we have to do. Like you said, it is not just a professional thing. This is like our entire life is built on having these conversations. And my sense is when I meet executives who have done this for dozens of years in the most, you know, high performing of companies, they still can't do it well because no one's teaching it. Like, no training for how do you give someone bad news? How do you land a hard message? And that's really hard because that's humanity, right? Like, that's the stuff that also brings us together. That's the stuff that can pull us apart.
And what's so interesting is what I've found in the better moments, maybe the ones that have been handled better, those moments of crisis or toughness, is that you can actually increase the bonds in the community and in your teams when you do it right. So I like how you're sort of spinning that kind of, let's reduce burnout and improve the experience, not just for the leader, but for like everyone, the leaders, family, community, team, stakeholder, you know.
Yeah, our work is our life, our life is our work, and everything blends, right? And it makes a difference. Like, people are very stressed out when they get a bad communication. And I have gotten, in my personal life, I have gotten a very good communication that was made bad and a very bad communication that felt okay. So it's possible. It's very possible.
That's interesting. I was just sharing with a guest of another show today that on a bad communication around a promotion.
Yes.
Someone had been given increased responsibilities, but it just got landed on this friend of mine in a way that it was just like, hey, by the way, you're taking this function on, good work. You know, the decision was to land it with you, but there wasn't really a sitting down and an affirmation of the good work that got there and what it was going to mean. And so it just created a huge amount of stress in that moment.
Yeah. When it's meant to be a good thing, but if you don't communicate it and you're not thoughtful, it's really interesting too. Like, one of the most frequent conversations that I help managers with is, one, you're not performing, but you're working really hard, or two, you're not getting that promotion that you wanted. Right. And I think those are really hard conversations, but I think part of it is you can be empathetic and be in service of that person, right? So if you are, you know, if you can think about, I think about empathy and how you would use that in a promotion conversation, for example, it's like, one, figure out what this person knows. Do they already know that everybody else has got their decision? Do they already feel the bad news coming? Two, what do they need in that moment? That person probably needed some recognition that they've done good work, right? You need to know that it was a fair process. I think that's a really important thing for people in promotion decisions. And then the number one thing I teach people that they absolutely resonate with is, think about what you want that person to say and feel afterwards, right? So in your situation, it was person got the promotion, but it didn't feel good. But when we are delivering that, the promotion didn't go well, you didn't get that promotion, I don't think you can come out of that conversation, Dane, with someone being like, okay, that's great. That's not going to happen.
No.
But you can come out of that conversation with, like, this sucks, but I do know the process was fair and my manager had my back and my manager wants to help me, right? And that's when you can communicate with empathy to be like, hey, you're not getting this promotion. I recognize that you worked really hard and you really wanted it. Here's the criteria that was used. Here's how you hit it and didn't hit it. And like, I want to partner with you for the next round and I want to be by your side so we can make it happen. And that is different. But I think when we're in the mindset of like, I have to disappoint this person, it's going to be horrible. Like, you're so focused on yourself that you're just apologetic and confusing instead of like, how do you have the empathy for the other person and what they need and what you might want them to say and feel afterwards? And that's how those conversations tend to be helpful to other people, this kind of formula of like, what do they know? What do they not know? What do they need? And then what do you want them to say and feel afterwards? And if you do that, you can put more of the emphasis on them instead of yourself. And you can actually reverse engineer the words that you want to use.
I love that.
And I
love how you turned it into a formula, going back to teaching the dolls math.
Yes, it is always a formula. It's always a framework because it's such a messy human process that if you can put intentionality behind it, it is helpful. So for example, with empathy, I'm curious of your take, but my take is that companies are scared to put empathy into their conversation. It's like, if I put empathy in, I might distort the message. It may go off. I might X, I might Y. So I'm just going to tell you you're being laid off, like as a robot. And give you that robotic message. And I think empathy can go wrong because, for example, you don't want to say, I'm sorry we're letting you go. That sounds like a mistake. Like, to me, that sounds like a mistake. That's horrible. I'm sorry. I know this is a hard experience for you. I'm sorry this is a hard experience for you.
It's more about them.
Yes. Again, take the focus off yourself and it's more about the other person. So I think for me, empathy is the key, but you have to be intentional. Right? You have to be intentional about how you use it and you have to use it right. And I don't know. I'm a consultant, so everything in my head is like, what way can I always remember to put the emphasis on them? Like, what's the formula that will help me like bring humanity to the conversation? That doesn't mean be a robot when you do it, but it helps you to understand how you want to execute something.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I think working with a coach is so important in those key moments, because you need a sounding board and the rigor to get it right. We had Salvatore Manzi come on the show some time back, and he talked about the you then me approach. So really putting in the language of that other person first.
Yes.
I think that helps kind of reinforce some of what you're pointing towards there.
I think that's right. And I think the leader's mindset is everything too, or the communicators, right? You talked about doing this in any part of your world. So another really common, unfortunate conversation we have to have often is, how do you tell someone they're not performing when they're working super hard, right? So they're working hard and they're not performing. And to your point, how do you get in that mindset? So if you are frustrated with this person, no matter how good an actor you are, you're probably gonna dump it, right? And it's gonna sound frustrated. It's impacted you. It's impacted the team. If you are in the mindset of, how could I possibly tell this person? Like, I can't believe that I have to give this news. You're gonna be apologetic and confusing. These are both about you. They're not about the other person. But if you're in that mindset of being helpful and being in service of somebody and wanting to help them develop and grow, to me, then you're gonna say something like, hey, I recognize you're working hard. I wanna tell you what's going well and not well. Because you're working so hard, like, let's give you credit for the quality of the work that you wanna do. Let's get you to that quality. Because Dana, I don't know about you, but no high performer ever wanted to work late and do a bad job, right? Like, nobody wants to work late and do a bad job. But you can't do that unless you think about the other person again. That's why, to me, all of this is, how do you get in the right headspace so you're in service of others? How do you understand what others need? I'm curious how that resonates for you.
I think you're right. I think empathy is getting a bit of a bad rap. People are afraid of it. And yet, if you approach empathy from the right way, as you've just modeled it, it's absolutely essential in business. I think where some people are maybe getting stuck with empathy, there's this whole attack on what is woke, or, you know, I listened to another podcast the other day, like a more feminine care ethic in businesses. And people are just like bundling it all into one thing and saying, we don't want it. And that's just wrong. Like,
also be human. Be human and care about people.
Be human. Yeah.
Make it clear and human.
100%. And I've been really tuning in lately to Bob Chapman and the whole Barry Waymiller story and that span of care and caring for people. And that's the kind of empathy I think that's really powerful in leaders and in teams right now, particularly with the amount of change that we're going through. Because to your point, whether it's on missing a promotion or whether it's a performance issue, the research that we're seeing is suggesting that people are living in a lot of fear, not just in their day job, but in life. Like, once upon a time, humans would have these spikes in cortisol, adrenaline when a wild animal walked into camp. But now it's 14 hours a day. How do I manage my children? How do I manage my finances?
It's more. Only 4 hours a day, frankly.
Get their sleep in. And so I think with that in mind, that the science suggests that when people are fearful, they'll actually bury themselves in hard work and often not the right work, but they'll pick up administrative tasks. They'll find things to get busy with. So we're actually going deeper into a bad cycle rather than lifting ourselves up and helping each other do work that's more energizing, more impactful, that matters. So I think it's a huge issue of our time.
Yeah. I would say we can't change the hard, but we can change the experience of the hard, right? Like the hard is nambling away, unfortunately, in my mind. But at least you can have impact on the experience with each other. And frankly, like this, you know, this model is to improve the experience of everyone, but it's also to reduce all the burnout and spin. Like, I've had people come out of a coaching session and say, hey, you just resolved 6 months of worry in 30 minutes. Like, one, well, it's pretty, I feel really great about that. But two, 6 months of worry, like that bled into, like you said, that bled into their personal life, that bled into their work, that bled into productivity. That led them to burnout, wanting to leave a company. Like, there's a lot to do here to just help people know how to manage through all this and know how to talk about it and how to communicate it. And like you said, actually create a bond, right? If someone comes out of I didn't get a promotion as, wow, my manager had my back and delivered this really thoughtfully. That's a bond that you created. That's deeper trust created, right? But if you're robotic and you didn't get that promotion, you've just broken trust because you're not giving the details, you're not giving the why, you're not empathizing. Like, you don't feel cared about. You just want to get out of there, frankly. Right at that point, you're just going to get out of there versus someone who's in it to win it with you and in service of you.
I think the in service is huge. And it also makes us realize, going back to your point too, that the empathy needs to be the other person, not your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, that's a tricky part. And I know that's in your framework.
Well, you know, you have to get the facts right and all that, but the step before we get to empathy is how you actually feel, right? Because I will ask people, I'm looking like, all right, I'm a backstabber. I'm a terrible person. I lost all of my team and now I can't help this other team. And I was like, okay, so how's that conversation going to go? It's going to be apologetic and kind of a dead end versus actually the company chose to lay off people in my team. Actually temporary because I'm going to hire new people and I still want to be a partner to these people. So actually it should be a partnership mindset, right? But my goal with this framework is I'm going to take you from frustration and dread or whatever it is you feel, but those are the two most common things people feel, to what you said, like be in support, be in service of, be a partner. And then Dane, that's table stakes before I can get to the empathy piece of people. Like, got to get them into a mind space where they want deliver it and they want to turn their attention to the other person. And then we can start to dig into the empathy and like what that person needs. But if you're frustrated and you feel terrible or horrible, it's all about you. Yeah, it's all about you're reacting. It's all about you, right? That's okay. Like in my coaching sessions, the first part is let's make it all about you. You tell me all the bad things and all the things that are hard. Sometimes people—
Yeah, process that emotions.
Yeah, sometimes people, Dane, who come, because I do on-demand coaching, which means a company can hire me, to come in and say, when you have a moment, when you have a real conversation, like book time at far, because that's the best way to learn.
Cool.
And to get support. So that's part one. But part two, like sometimes people will come in and cry. Sometimes people will come in and get really frustrated and angry. And like you said, I'm not going to jump into the framework, right? Like first we have to process and be human. Get it out, understand it. We also have to understand what impact that could be if we stay with that feeling, right? Because that's where the impact would be more negative, right? And so it is a process. Like part of this coaching and part of this framework is to allow you to process what mindset are you in? And then, okay, when you're ready, what mindset do you want to be in? Because that's the one that's going to help get the conversation over the line.
I think that's particularly strong, and I'm excited to dive into this framework. Particularly because leaders don't just have that mindset or that fear, frustration impacting them in the moment at work. They take it home to their spouse, children, parents, friends, the kids on the park that they're coaching that evening. It just shows up everywhere. And I think we're often, certainly in the earlier part of my career, we were often told that the best leaders are the calm leaders, the ones that don't show emotion. And so we were bottling that stuff up and taking it to other places, the bar or otherwise. And
everybody is human, right? And I think that it's the same idea of like, don't take it personally. No, it is 100% personal. Like if I need to go to work for X hours a day and be a like impersonal robot, that's not going to work for me, right? So it is deeply personal. And then you do take it home, whichever side you're on. The leader, you know, you're giving bad news to the person. But remember, the leader is absorbing all the worry and all the projections and all the stuff. And then the person on the other side is sometimes getting traumatized by how, unfortunately, it's coming out. And nobody's intent is bad. But that's why framework is there, is to help intent actually translate. Like, everybody's intent is to want to be kind and want the communication to go well and want people to experience. So I'm just trying to match the intent with what the actual outcome is for people.
One of my great mentors in McDonald, he defines work as turning intent into reality, which is what I'm hearing in your work. And so it sounds like this is really important work that all leaders need to do more of.
Yes, I literally care so deeply about this. Like, it's so important to me because I've had experiences that have been challenging and didn't need to, and then I've had challenging things that were fine. And It is very possible to do this. It is possible to do it in your personal life. And it is possible to make really hard commercial decisions and actually have it go okay. Both of those things are very possible.
Yeah. Neat. Well, let's dive in. Let's go to the framework.
Yeah. What do you want me to tell you?
I mean, there's four parts to it, as I understand. What is it that has landed you on those four? And then maybe you can walk us through like an example.
Yeah. So step one is identify the facts. You've got to get the facts and the foundation of the facts straight before you can do anything else. And I'll explain why that's hard. Step two, I call check your mindset. Check mindset. The first is what we've already talked about, which is getting in the right headspace for yourself. And then the second is knowing what others need. And then step three is to deliver with care, because we don't just want to focus on that moment. We want to focus on the moment before that moment, the moment after, and the moment after that, right? That's what delivering with care is, because things have ripple, like you said. So those are the kind of three steps and the three elements of the framework.
Brilliant. So facts established. I mean, one of my favorite speakers came in and said, there are three truths. There's my truth, your truth, and the truth. So how do you establish that?
Okay. So there are two things that in my mind make facts hard. One is when we think about the facts and we're in a corporation and things are moving really fast, you're kind of laser focused on the fact. The fact is we are laying people off. The fact is we're reorienting. The fact is we're doing a work pivot. What a strategy pivot. That's the fact. You have incredibly smart people. They're going to ask you the what, the why, and what's next, right? So you need to be able to get the best full picture you can of the facts. And I am, I've been in business for decades. So I understand that like reality is you're moving very fast, but your reality is you're also getting asked about those things, right? And I think what you can do is you can actually segment your facts in three ways. The first is, what do you know to be true? We are doing the work pivot, we are doing the work strategy. The second one is, what do I not know that I actually should know, right? What do I need to further clarify for the research? So maybe it's the timing or how we're going to execute it or what the new team looks like or the resources we're going to put against it. And then the third bucket is things you'll never know, right? And I think if you have those three buckets, you can actually say, now what am I going to share and what am I not going to share, right? Because what you're going to share is what's going to help your communication, give people a thorough picture. What you're not going to share is confusion or extra things that get added to the plate. And you may not know bucket two and three. You may not have researched all the things you need to know, and then there's things you'll never know. But you can say that, like, here's what we know. Here's what we're still researching. And here's what we're never going to know, because that gives people confidence, right? Like, people don't need you to have all the answers, but they do need to have confidence that you actually know what the heck you're talking about and that you are working towards a plan. So the first thing is making sure people can actually get the facts. And I'm not holding anyone responsible to knowing every single thing. I'm just holding you responsible to know, what you need to know, and what you'll never know. So you can at least talk about it smartly. The second piece goes along with the point that I think we've been talking about, which is the humanity of it all, which is we have very positive projections and very negative projections of things. We're going to bring people back to the office and they're going to hate it. That's what puts you in the mindset of being apologetic. We're going to change your role and you're going to love this role. Or we have a new technology that's going to save so much time and everyone's going to love it. Those color your emotions will color your words before the words come out. So if you have projections or emotions, you are a human. You are allowed those things. My request is that you separate them. What are the facts and what are the not facts? And if you can separate those, I promise you, you will see a much clearer picture of what to tell people and how to tell them. So step one, just get your facts straight. I'm not saying don't have emotions. I'm saying separate the emotions, separate out the projections so that the picture is more clear.
Love that.
So step two is mindset matters. Check mindset. We talked about this. We got to get in the right space first. So let me tell you a story. I worked with a company constantly in change behind closed doors. Leaders were actually very frustrated. They were like, there's always a fuss with a change. People don't get it. We're always having to spend all very negative, like very dark. And one of the leaders who was going to make the announcement said, why can't these people just get on with it? Like, that's how frustrated this person was. So they get up in front of, like, fast forward to the actual announcement. This is in person. They're in the room. They make their announcement and they say it, Dane. They are empathetic. They're kind. And they say, change is hard. We get it. And we're here to support you, right? Like, they said all the right words with all the right tonality. And the person next to me looks at me and goes, no, they don't. They just want us to get on with it.
Like, that's all that comes.
It was all said behind closed doors, right? So no matter how you hire smart people, like, so no matter how good an actor or actress you are, your people know how you really feel. So you got to get yourself into that right mindset because it's always going to come through. And that's a lot of the coaching that we talked about a few minutes ago about, like, what mindset are you in and what's that impact and how are you going to get to a more positive place? And yeah. You got to get there. You got to get there before you move.
So not to go way off track on that, but if you're working with that team again, is the goal to say we need to be more candid about our need to get on with it, or we need to change our mindset away from wanting to get on with it and actually just be here for what the team needs now?
To me, it's always the latter, right? Because I'm only going to work with people who are going to be like kind humans, right? And again, it's not... We go back to what you said. I really liked you said intent to reality. I think people's intents are to care. This was a caring, kind company.
Yes.
We just are human. So we get, like, I always, when I do a keynote, I say, how many people go to frustration and how many people go to dread? And then people laugh and they're like, how about both? Because I go to both. You go to both when you have to get that. Yeah, all the hands. So for me, it is coaching because I don't think any leader wants to go to the front of a room and pretend to be supportive. I think they want to be supportive. So all the coaching work I do, whether it's around communications or executive coaching, is actually helping people get to that happier, healthier space where their head and their heart are more aligned, right? Like, the heart wants to be kind and supportive. The head is super angry and frustrated that we can't just make the change and move on. How do you do that? And in reality, these are business realities. These changes are real. They are reality. And you don't have to spend hours with people, but you do have to be thoughtful and be kind and all that. So I'm not saying to spend hours. I'm actually saying to show up, like, match your heart with your head and communicate well. None of what I do is meant to take extra time. It is just meant to put you in a headspace. And Dane, one of the funniest things is I always imagine when I do coaching sessions, and there's workshops and keynotes, but when I do the coaching sessions, I always imagine that the person's going to want to draft the communication because I'm the communications expert. We're going to draft it together. I'm going to help you come up with words. And actually really often, like, I'll help get them from dread or frustration to, like, supportive in that right headspace. And they'll be like, I'm good. Thanks.
I got it.
Like, do you want to practice? And they're like, no. I had somebody who came to me, was an IC, and so my manager, like, really messed up my promotion, and, like, I got to go tell them. And I was like, well, what mindset are you in? And they're like, oh, screwed me over. Like, this person totally screwed me over. I'm like, cool, how's that going to land with your manager who you want to partner with for the future? They're like, oh, not well. And I was like, well, what mindset do you want to be in? A partnership mindset. You still give the feedback to your manager, but you want to be in a partnership mindset. And he just looks at me and goes, you just prevented career suicide. And two, I'm like, do you want to have another meeting to phrase this fallout? Because it seems really important. He's like, no, got it. I just need to partner with my manager. Like, cool. I'm so glad that went well, right? But people are smart. Actually, once you get in the right headspace, I will help people with some phrases or some authentic phrases or some starting points. But interesting, a lot of the sessions that I do are helping people with that mindset piece.
I like that, because what I'm hearing there, when you first told me about being one of the Radical Candor coaches, I hadn't heard of Kim Scott's work. I'd heard of Kim Scott, but not on that book. And I went straight to Ray Dalio, I think you'll remember.
Which is not even remote.
People weaponize that. They're like, I'm just going to walk in and tell you whatever I think right now, and I don't care. And it's just like...
No, Radical whereas feedback is a gift, and I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to be clear, and I'm going to be in service of you, right?
Yeah.
And that is, yeah, it's nowhere near that. And it's the same thing of like, you got to be in service of another person, right? When you're scared about losing the relationship, or you're scared about the stakes, it's like, oh. And like, you let that person do something for 3 to 6 months, and they want to do well, and then you have to exit them because you didn't give them the feedback. Like, your wonderful intent of not wanting to hurt someone's feelings is actually like turned out to be a really bad thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Them of oxygen.
Yeah, exactly. And so radical candor is just like, let's be kind, let's be clear, let's be in service of others. Feedback is a gift. And I don't know about you, but the toughest feedback I've ever gotten is the feedback I've been the most grateful for, because no performer wants to not know the thing that they should do well. No human wants to just do a bad job, right? But what Kim Scott says is, and there's a great exercise we do in the workshop called Spinach in Your Teeth, which is, you might not want to tell me I have spinach in my teeth because you feel bad for me, but what happens after the work, like 4 hours after the workshop, what happens when I go check the mirror and there's spinach in my teeth for 4 hours and no one told me? I've lost trust. I feel terrible. So to me, this is really, you know, you're going to hear me say it over and over again. It's being in service of others, truly in service of others.
The two things I keep hearing you say, Farah, which I really like, is being in service of others and people are smart. And like,
yes.
I know this sounds crazy. I think Elon Musk even came out with a statement once that was just like, you know, humans are underrated. And they are. Like, if you can just approach a team dynamic, a team issue, a customer problem, knowing that people are smart, you probably are going to land more authentically and more quickly in the right place.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll have a conversation, I apologize, I have no idea what's going on with the power, but sometimes I'll have a conversation, Dane, and this might sound unprofessional, but I'll just say, a conversation felt yucky. Like, that conversation just didn't feel great. What did it feel like for you? Sometimes it's not even having the hard conversation. It's just saying, like, I think we're both in a place that's not working right now. Like, what's going on for you? I always tell my clients, get curious before furious. Right? Like, I've heard your podcast. You're very curious. Like, you seek to understand. And that's what I think we want to do, is be curious before we get furious with people.
I agree. Yeah. Excellent. And then 3, deliver with care.
2A, 2B. So the first part was check your mindset. The second was step into the other person's shoes. So it's all this step two is all about mindset. So this is where we talked about that formula that I love, which is, to get in somebody's shoes, you want to first know what they know. Like, is there gossip out there? Is there information? Like, is there misinformation like out there? 2 is, you know, what do they need? Do they need recognition? Do they need fairness? Do they have they lost control? They need some autonomy. And then the gold nugget is, what do you want them to say and feel after your communication? And then you reverse engineer. That's, who knows if it's 2 or 3, but I call it 2A and 2B because it all fits into that mindset bucket.
And then you're definitely planning for the end in mind.
Always the end in mind. And that is exactly what it is. And I laugh because I had this person say, you know, we talked about the promotion example earlier, which is they needed to know it was a hard conversation, and they want what you want them to say afterwards is the best people. This sucks, but they're right. And my manager had their back. And so I did this with a client, and the person said that's what they wanted them to say afterwards. And they emailed the next day, and the person said, this is not ideal, but I get it. Thank you. And I'm like, this framework works, right? Like, they literally, you won't forget, my life is so awesome, I didn't get the promotion. But they really did. This leader was able to really have that empathy to know what they needed, and really just, this is the best outcome I can get to. And they literally got to that outcome, which is like, it's not great. I do understand it. Thank you. Right. It was just a moment where like, okay, this works, you know, because you have to sit in reality about what outcomes people can get to. Just like, be honest with yourself about the outcome you can get to. It's you're not going to make someone's day by telling them you're not getting a promotion. But you can help them bosses.
What was the story you shared earlier? There was a story where you got bad news, which actually turned out okay.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to kind of use that part of the framework to explain that story.
So Yes. I shake my head because it was 8 years ago and I still remember. So two, there was good news turned bad and bad news turned good. So you want the bad news turned good? Okay. So they aced this formula, which was, it was one day before signing our wedding contract. Stanford Hospital called my family up, called my husband and I up and says, come in. We go into Stanford Hospital and the cardiologist says, you need to have, basically told us that he needed to have surprise open heart surgery. And 35, and we were like, you know, weeks and months from having a wedding. And the reason he did this exceptionally well was, one, in the language of care personally, he had, in the language of radical candor, he had care personally because he knew we were planning our wedding. He knew that's what was happening. And so he started with, he didn't start with, you need to have surgery. He said, I know you all are planning a wedding and I know you're very excited and I know that's really meaningful to you. And I need to let you know that based on all the tests we run, you should have this open heart surgery. Here's why. He gave clear reasons. He gave options. He told us what different surgeons had told him. And Dane, I think the key there was, or the how this could have gone wrong. Like, I am a person who has to deliver to somebody that they're going to have surprise open heart surgery. Their wedding may be canceled. I don't know about you, but my intuition would be to be very apologetic, right? And maybe lovable, like just all over the place because you feel so bad.
Certainty and confidence, and it causes all sorts of nerve stream.
Thank you. And that is not what this person did. This person was like, I get you have a wedding. I know how much you care. So they knew what we needed, right? And they were crystal clear to the point, I kid you not, afterwards we went to lunch to a Chinese restaurant. I still have it. The Apple Watch had just come out. And I actually joked with my husband, who needs to have open heart surgery, that he just wanted the Apple Watch that had that heart monitor function on it because it was like a brand new thing at the time. And Dane, our entire, this is like the biggest shout out to Stanford Hospital, our entire experience was empathy and clarity. And my husband got out of the hospital days earlier. And I wish I had the picture to show you. Got out of the hospital days earlier. We had our wedding, recovered weeks to months quicker than he was supposed to. And I am 100% convinced it's because of the empathy. And like, even when he was in the recovery room and all the ways that they tried to make it happen for us, all the ways they showed empathy, I am so convinced that he was able to like just recover and process because of how they did it. And I don't even know how to explain our experience to you, but surprise open heart surgery. It was hard. I'm not going to take away the experience, but we processed it and made decisions and had a good experience. And to me, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is awesome. The other reason I really like that story is the way that you turned it into a system as well, or that you experienced a system at work, because that's what teams should be seeing, is that if they can create that empathy and clarity and how they have hard conversations internally, externally with customers and suppliers, all of a sudden everything becomes so much easier. It just lifts that huge weight of fear and reaction.
Everybody, right? Yeah. And I don't know, all I can say is, they made bad, hard news easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did.
That's
they
neat.
Did.
And then any other on the sort of planning for delivery, just to wrap it up, like there's obviously different ways, times to do things. Where do you start with a leader that's going to have a tough conversation on that element?
Yeah, I would say, one, if you are asking your leaders to have tough conversations, like don't tell them at 4 o'clock the day before. And that's totally normal to do because you're moving fast. Like if you want to retain your leaders and your people who are staying and create advocates out of people who are going, let's just say with a layoff, who are going, do not tell people at 4 o'clock. Again, I get business, I get it's fast, but be thoughtful and fast, right? Be swift and thoughtful. Two, we talked about this before, but it's so important. Like, you have smart people, they will ask you the why and they will ask you what's next. So please don't articulate that on the fly because it will break trust. Three, I think we're so focused on the very moment. We are doing X, we are doing Y. We forget about people afterwards. So I don't want to use layoffs because that's just so negative, but the people who stay in a layoff, who get retained, they actually feel really horrible. Right. And then we're like, well, you get to stay. So let's move on with business. Like, that's right. Not good. Right. Yeah. And then last, if it's the leaders who are communicating this, like, remember to take care of your leaders too. We should take care of our employees and the people that were impacted, but everybody is human. And this is also not fun for the leaders, you know, and I help so many leaders, you know, in my HR executive role, I had to help people terminate people and give them hard messages. And I would always say, like, today you're strong today, but tomorrow you're probably going to cry. And they did. They're like, yeah, I got through it today because I had to. And there was all this adrenaline. And the next day they would cry about it because it does not feel good to do these things. And so just please take care of everybody in the equation. Don't forget about all the different pieces. And then I guess my last tip, which hopefully everybody knows, but don't do this on a Friday night or on an evening. Like, don't isolate people. Like, if you care about your people, you're going to want to pick them up and give them support through this process. So just thoughtful about your time, thoughtful about the preparation, thoughtful about what you're going to say, and thoughtful afterwards. I don't know if those are hot takes, but I think they're...
No, they're great. The only thing I would ask there in this kind of remote world that we now live in, and at times global, it's different times of the day. Do you see any approaches where, you know, once upon a time I went through a really bad riff and I pulled all the managers into a restaurant afterwards and we kind of did I wouldn't call it a happy hour, but we did some drinks and appetizers and we sat there and we were like, let's just process this right now. Together. Yeah. Now, you can't always do that if you've got someone in India and someone in Australia and someone here on the West Coast. How do you find that the virtual distributed world?
It's hard. I don't have a perfect answer for you, but I would just say, like, don't underestimate the value of picking up a phone or getting on a Zoom, right? Like, when I have seen change happen through companies that I've worked with, they'll actually have a spreadsheet and each person will get a person to take, like, to kind of call and check in with them. And so that person is not like, hey, we made a communication and now we just hope everyone's fine or we have to find a way to gather. We're like, we actually have a name next to each person. And in this world, it would be in their time zone, right? Or in their location, who could actually pick up the phone and talk to that human. Do I think that's always realistic if it's thousands of people? No. But my hope is you find the ways to pick people up. You find the ways to be thoughtful. Like, there's phones, like, you know, before Zoom and before all these things, we did have phones and we did have ways
to care of people. And handwritten letters, and there's old-fashioned things that still really work.
And a lot of the things in my workshops for Radical Candor, people say, well, what if the person cries and you're on Zoom? And I say, you know what? Extrapolate. It's not, you can't, because people are like, I want to hand them a tissue. I'm like, then just say that. I wish I could give you a tissue. Would you like to get a tissue? You can extrapolate to a remote world. Like, I know you can't hand the tissue over the phone, but you can say, would you like to get one? I wish I could give you a tissue. Those are extrapolation. So I know it is hard. Virtual is real. I do think there are ways to be human either way, because either way, we're still humans. We just got to be extra intentional with how we do it.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant. We've covered some really cool parts of the framework today, but also, it's just this wider story around people are smart. We need to be in service of people. And I love this whole, like, bring humanity forward of hard conversations in a way that's kind and clear.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound like extra work or extra time. I think it's just like...
Well, going back to your example of the coachee who, like, sweated something for 6 months before they had to act, like, it's actually less work, less time.
It is less work. It is 100% less work, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. If any of our guests want to reach out and find you, whether it's for the Radical Candor workshops, keynotes, coaching, or to dive into your framework, how do they best contact you, Farah?
I live on LinkedIn, so look up Farah Mitra on LinkedIn. I'm always there. And then Farah@greenreadgroup.com. So email or LinkedIn, find me either place. I'm happy to geek out. I'm happy to chat. I'm happy to compare notes. And then I'm happy to do the coaching or workshops or keynotes, whatever it is that organization needs. I partner with people wherever they need, whether it's a one-off event or a whole year, because sometimes companies are like, can you stay for comp and performance review and X? And so they just retain me for years because these hard conversations are happening all the time. And it's not an outsource. It is a leveraged partner with expertise in a safe external space. So that's how they can find me. And what no, I do, brilliant. And
Well, I appreciate you sharing it today, Farah. And I think for a lot of leaders out there, it is worth also recognizing that leaders who in the past have been able to kind of grit their teeth and get through this are burning out. And it is time to take an action and to bring some of this formulaic, grounded, practical framework to bear.
The human practical framework.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I look forward to continuing the conversation, and thanks again for the time today, Farah.
Thank you for having me.
Just a quick note before we go. The views and opinions shared in this episode are those of our guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, Dane Gruneveld, the Leader Group, our patron Huddle 3, or our partners and affiliates. Any scenarios discussed are for the purpose of fueling creative thinking and conversation and should be viewed only in this context. Dane, Leader, our sponsors, partners, and affiliates do not endorse any guest or any organization they may be associated with. It's important to remember that every workplace is as individual as the people within it. Our recommendation is to always seek solutions that are specifically designed to help serve your team's unique needs. And to this point, please know we're here, ready to help you find the best way forward, no matter where your starting point is. You can connect with Dane or myself, Alicia McCraw, on LinkedIn, or via the links contained in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in. And hey, if you think someone in your network would benefit from this episode, feel free to share it or give us a 5-star rating. Those 5 little stars really help us reach more curious people like you. We'll catch you next time on the Future of Teamwork.